This track opened with a question. You know the area of a circle is pi times the radius squared, but why? 13 lessons later, you can answer it. Slice into rings, integrate 2 pi times the radius, get pi times the radius squared. And along the way, you built the entire machine that makes the answer work. Rates and accumulations, the rules for differentiating powers, trig functions, exponentials, products, compositions, and the fundamental theorem binding it all together. This final lesson is where that machine produces its most powerful single result. The result is the Taylor series, and the idea is audacious. Take any well-behaved function, no matter how complicated, and rebuild it near a point as a plain polynomial, using nothing but the function's derivatives at that point. Seen, the exponential, the logarithm, all of them become sums of powers of the input, as easy to compute as arithmetic. It is the capstone because it requires everything you have learned, and it is the bridge to the math that machine learning runs on. Why we would want this? Polynomials are the friendliest functions there are. To evaluate 3 plus 2 times the input plus the input squared, you only multiply and add. A computer or a person can do it directly. Functions like sine of the input or Euler's number raised to the input are not like that. There is no finite arithmetic recipe for the sine of an arbitrary number. So the question is irresistible. Can we approximate a complicated function by a polynomial closely enough to be useful? Taylor's answer is yes, and the polynomial is built entirely from the function's derivatives. The Taylor expansion. Near a point A, a function f is approximated by, each term uses one more derivative of the function f, evaluated at the center A, and attaches it to a power of the input minus A. The first term pins the value, the second pins the slope, the third pins the concavity, and each further term matches one more order of the function's behavior at the center A. Why the factorials? They are bookkeeping that makes the matching exact. When you differentiate the input minus a raise to the term number k, once you get k times the input minus a raise to the ka minus 1. Again, k times k minus 1 times the input minus a raise to the k minus 2. And after k differentiations, you have produced ka factorial, that is k times k minus 1 and on down to 2 times 1. Dividing the ka term by k factorial cancels exactly that buildup, so that the kth derivative of the keth term evaluated at the center A comes out to precisely the kth derivative of the function at A. The factorial is what guarantees the matching property. The Taylor polynomial and the function f share the same value, the same slope, the same second derivative, the same third derivative, and so on, all the way up at the point A. That is what it means for the polynomial to approximate the function there. The geometric picture, term by term. Watching the approximation build is the clearest way to feel it. Keep only the first two terms, the value of the function at a plus the first derivative at a times the input minus a, and you have the tangent line at the center A, the best straight line fit. This is the small angle and Newton's method object we will return to. Add the third term, and the straight line bends into a parabola that now matches the curve's concavity at A. Add the fourth, and it bends again to match the rate at which the concavity changes. Each new term lets the polynomial hug the curve through one more order of agreement, and near the center, A, the fit gets visibly tighter with every term. Diagram placeholder, a curve gif sx, with its Taylor approximations at a point A overlaid. The tangent line, first order, then a parabola, second order, then a higher degree curve, each wrapping more tightly around f near A. Far from the center A, the approximation can drift away, and for some functions, it only stays accurate within a limited distance. But near the point, more terms always means a better match. Three series that fall out cleanly. Build the Taylor series at the center A equal to 0 for the track's recurring functions, and watch earlier lessons pay off. The exponential. Every derivative of Euler's number raised to the input is itself, the Euler's number lesson, and Euler's number raised to the zero is one, so every coefficient is one. The series is the cleanest in mathematics. Test it at the input equal to 1, 1 plus 1 plus 1 half plus 1 sixth plus 1 over 24 plus 1 over 120 equals 2.7167, already close to Euler's number, about 2.71828, and tightening with each term. This is why Euler's number raised to the input is its own derivative. Differentiate the series term by term, and it reproduces itself. Sine. The derivatives of sine at zero cycle. Sine of 0 is 0, cosine of 0 is 1, negative sine of 0 is 0, negative cosine of 0 is negative 1, and then repeat. The coefficients are 0, 1, 0, negative 1, 0, 1, and on. So only odd powers survive, with alternating signs. Test at the input equal to pi over 2, about 1.5708, 1.5708 minus 0.6460 plus 0.0797 minus 0.0047, which is about 0.9998, converging to the sine of pi over 2, which is 1. Watch the wraps tighter idea numerically at the input equal to 1, where the true value is the sine of 1, which is 0.84147. Each term pulls the estimate closer, and by the fourth, it matches the sine of 1 to 5 decimals. The polynomial is reconstructing the sine, one derivative at a time. Cosine. By the same cycle starting from the cosine of 0, which is 1, only even powers survive. The earlier lessons made rigorous. Three things from earlier in the track were stated on intuition and are now provable. The small angle approximation. The trig lesson claimed that the sine of the input is approximately the input itself for small inputs because the slope of sine at 0 is 1. That is exactly the first two terms of sine's Taylor series. The sine of the input is about the input. The next term reveals how good the approximation is and how to improve it. The sine of the input is about the input minus the input cubed over 6. At the input equal to 0.5, plain input gives 0.5, while the input minus the input cubed over 6 is 0.5 minus 0.0208, which is 0.4792, almost exactly the true sine of 0.5, which is 0.4794. The approximation was the first slice of a series all along. L'Hôpital's rule. The limits lesson said L'Hôpital works by keeping each function's leading behavior near a point. That leading behavior is precisely the first-order Taylor term. The value of the function at a plus the first derivative at a times the input minus a. When numerator and denominator both vanish at the center a, their ratio is governed by their first Taylor terms, which is the first derivative of the numerator divided by the first derivative of the denominator. L'Hôpital is first-order Taylor wearing a different hat. Higher-order derivatives. The previous lesson built the tower of derivatives, the first, second, third, and on, and showed a degree 4 polynomial differentiating down to a constant and then zero. That tower is exactly the list of ingredients Taylor needs. The k-eth term uses the k-eth derivative. The reason a polynomial equals its own Taylor series is that its tower terminates, so the series is finite and exact. Worked example. Newton's method is Taylor at work. The first-order Taylor term is not just for approximating values. It powers a fast way to solve equations. Newton's method finds a zero of a function by repeatedly replacing the function with its tangent line, its first-order Taylor approximation, and jumping to where that line crosses zero. The update is the current guess minus the function value divided by the first derivative, which is exactly the solution of the function value plus the first derivative times the new guess minus the current guess set equal to zero. Use it to compute the square root of 2, the positive zero of the function, the input squared minus 2. So the first derivative is 2 times the input. Start at the initial guess of 1.5. After two steps, it agrees with the square root of 2, 1.411421, to 5 decimals. Each step uses the first-order Taylor model of the function at the current guess. And the convergence is rapid because the tangent line is an excellent local stand-in. The most used root finder in scientific computing is, underneath, this lesson's first term. Why this matters when you use AI. Taylor is the most structurally important calculus idea for machine learning because the field's core algorithms are Taylor approximations of a loss function. Gradient descent is first-order Taylor. Every training step approximates the loss near the current parameters by its tangent plane. The loss at theta plus the step is about the loss at theta plus the gradient dotted with the step, and moves in the steepest downhill direction of that linear model. The whole of gradient-based training is repeated first-order Taylor. Newton's method is second-order Taylor. It keeps the next term too, building a parabola using the second derivative information, the Hessian from the previous lesson, and jumping to that parabola's bottom. The trade-off between gradient descent and Newton's method is exactly the trade-off between a first-order and a second-order Taylor model. Newton's method for finding a zero of the function is the same idea. Set the first-order Taylor approximation to zero and solve, giving the update the current guess minus the function value divided by the first derivative. The neural tangent kernel is a first-order Taylor expansion of a network's output with respect to its parameters at initialization. In the infinite width limit, it makes training analytically tractable and has become a central tool for understanding why deep networks train the way they do. And at the lowest level, when a processor evaluates sine, cosine, the exponential, or the logarithm, it is computing a polynomial, a truncated Taylor-style series, because polynomials are all the hardware can do directly. Taylor is not an incidental tool in machine learning. It is the shape of how the field reasons about functions it cannot handle whole. Common pitfalls. Forgetting the derivatives are evaluated at the center. Every coefficient is the kth derivative of the function at a, the derivative at the expansion point a, not at the variable input. The series approximates the function near a, and the derivatives that build it are all measured there. Dropping the factorials. The kth term is the kth derivative of the function at a divided by k factorial, not the kth derivative alone. Omitting the factorial breaks the matching property and the series no longer reproduces the function, expecting accuracy far from the center. Taylor approximations are local, excellent near the center A, and for some functions they diverge once the input gets too far away. More terms help near the center, not necessarily far from it. Confusing the approximation with the function. A truncated Taylor series, a few terms, is an approximation. The full infinite series, where it converges, equals the function. Be clear about whether you are using a finite stand-in or the exact expansion. What you should remember, a Taylor series rebuilds a function near a point from its derivatives there. The function at the input is about the value at a, plus the first derivative at a times the input minus a, plus the second derivative at a over 2 factorial times the input minus a squared, and on. Each term matches one more order of the function's behavior at the center a. The factorials are what make that matching exact. The classic series follow from earlier lessons. Euler's number raised to the input is 1 plus the input squared over 2 factorial and on, because every derivative of Euler's number raised to the input is itself. And sine and cosine give the alternating odd and even power series. The small angle rule that the sine of the input is about the input is just the first-order Taylor term, and L'Hopital's rule is the first-order Taylor ratio. Taylor is the calculus idea machine learning leans on most. Gradient descent is a first-order Taylor step. Newton's method is second order. The neural tangent kernel is a first order Taylor expansion of a network, and processors compute sine, the exponential, and friends as Taylor-style polynomials. You open this track unable to say why a circle's area is pi times the radius squared. You can now derive it, and far more. You have both halves of calculus, the rules that differentiate the functions you meet, the theorem that ties rates to accumulation, and finally the Taylor series that reconstructs any of those functions from its derivatives at a point. That last idea is the one the machine learning papers assume you carry. When they write a gradient step, a second-order method, or a tangent kernel argument, they are speaking Taylor. The arc that began with a circle closes here, with a single polynomial standing in for any function you like, built from nothing but the rates you now know how to find.